This is Mark Steiner. We want to welcome you to another one of our episodes in Countdown to the Annapolis Summit. Of course, we're taking this January the 8th, where I will be interviewing the Governor, Speaker of the House, and the President of the Senate. You all can participate and be there on January the 8th from 7 to 10 a.m. at the Calvert House in Annapolis. We want people there. We want you to be there to ask questions of our state leaders, to hear their responses. It's going to be a live broadcast, and we look forward to you being there. You can always go just to www.steinershow.org and click on the banner there, Annapolis Summit, and to get your tickets to register to attend and join us there on January the 8th, which is the opening day of the General Assembly. One of those issues that's going to be coming up in Annapolis this session will be around marijuana, around legalization, around decriminalization, which are very different issues, medical marijuana, as well as those who do not want to see any of the above or most of the above not happen. They think that marijuana is an illegal drug and it should stay that way. We are joined here by Greg Klein, who wrote an op-ed to that regard. He's an attorney, co-founder and contributing editor for Red Maryland, and he hosts the Conservative Refuge podcast and co-hosts the Red Maryland Radio. Senator Jamie Raskin is a Maryland State Senator representing the 20th District in Montgomery County, and Senator Bobby Zirkin is a Maryland State Senator representing the 11th District in Baltimore County. And Greg, Jamie, and Bobby, welcome. Good to have all three of you with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So we've seen this debate around the criminalization and legalization of marijuana really grow around the United States. Watching now the legalization in Washington and Colorado, and many of us are watching those two states very closely to see what happens there. Medical marijuana in many more states than that. And it's here, and there are many who are positing that within the next few years, marijuana itself will be legal in most states and being pushed in Congress as well. So there clearly is a shift even among the population when you look at most polls. I think the last one I saw or heard spoken about on National Public Radio the other day was that 58% of Americans now believe that marijuana should be legalized and people should not go to jail for using, possessing, or having marijuana. But there's a difference in your approaches. Let me start with Bobby Zirkin and go to Greg and then come to Jamie. Because, Bobby, you're not talking about legalization. You're talking about something a little different, right?
Well, the bill that I proposed last year and got out of the Senate with bipartisan support, overwhelming bipartisan support, was a decriminalization bill. And the poll that you just mentioned actually is for legalization. For decriminalization, for saying that possession of small amounts of marijuana should be a civil fine versus a criminal sanction, I think has close to 90% support within the population. It's overwhelming in both parties. And that's the bill that we put out last year of the Senate. And there are reasons for that. The reasons to decriminalize, first of all, there's like 16 or 17 states that have gone that way. And out of those states, I mean, they range everywhere from red states to blue states, New York, Mississippi, and so forth, that have moved from criminal to civil. And all of the effects that kind of the opponents of it have thrown out, from more use of marijuana to gateway drug use of other drugs to more kids using and so forth and so on, those issues have been studied up one side and down the other, and none of those have come to fruition in any of the states that have moved to a civil sanction. And so the idea that somehow this has had this horrible effect by moving to a civil sanction, it just hasn't come to fruition. The upsides of it are tremendous. I mean, you save hundreds of millions of dollars. You have police officers that, instead of sitting in the district court waiting for a tiny little case where some kid got popped for a joint, the police officers are actually out on the street working on serious crimes. You have judges and prosecutors and public defense time and resources that are not wasted with these small cases, and you don't have these deleterious effects. And so it has been universally, I mean, quite frankly, it's getting close to universal support within the population that folks that are caught with small or what's called de minimis amount of marijuana should not be thrown in jail, should not be a criminal sanction. And so that's the bill that I put forth with support from Senator Raskin and my good friend and seatmate and others across the political spectrum. So that's the approach that I've taken. Truth be told, I support what Jamie is about to talk to you about as well. I just think that from a political standpoint, this is the best approach right now. But from a philosophical standpoint, I 100% agree with Senator Raskin's approach.
Well, so then before we go to Jamie Raskin, let me go to Greg Klein, because, Greg, you think this whole thing is folly, if I understand the op-ed you wrote.
Well, I was talking about legalization at that point, and
right.
Certainly I think it is. A lot of the things that the senator just kind of passed over and said aren't really concerns. There was a study released, a national poll by the University of Michigan that was just released yesterday, that among its findings found that 60% of high school seniors now view marijuana as not harmful. I wrote Tuesday in the BaltimoreSun.com/RedMaryland blog that we have about the medical reports and scientific documents that show the dangers in a variety of ways of marijuana use, including very serious threats of increased dangers of mental health, risk of psychiatric outcomes for people who use marijuana, even casually, especially in that 18 to 20-year-old age group. What we've seen around the country is that, according to the National Institutes of Health survey, is that there has been a trend towards increased use of marijuana by young people, that's the only drug that's showing an upward trend. And again, a lot of it is driven by, in my opinion, the move towards legalization and the growing, in my opinion, propaganda that marijuana is somehow harmless or inert. And these kinds of efforts that are going on are feeding that, when in fact there are very serious medical harms from marijuana use. In fact, the American Medical Association just recently affirmed their position that cannabis is a dangerous drug and that they oppose its legalization. Now, while there's plenty of room to discuss alternatives to the status quo and improve, the way that these prohibitions are currently enforced, the move towards legalization or greater tolerance of use has been shown in other places. I documented them Tuesday in my piece for the Baltimore Sun, in increased use in other countries where it's been done. In Holland, there was a huge spike among young people, particularly in Canada when it was decriminalized. They reached a 26-year high in marijuana use among teens particularly. And I noted even in Colorado, where we are still looking at the recent effects of legalization, there have been reports. I cited one from the Denver Post about the increase in marijuana in high schools that is being reported by law enforcement. So there are going to be, and this is what I wrote about in my piece in the Baltimore Sun last Friday, there are going to be consequences if we move towards a regime that is more tolerant of marijuana use, and one of those is clearly going to be increased use among young people who are particularly vulnerable to the drug's effects on their developing minds, including documented potential risks, and I cited some of the studies, for mental health problems down the road. So I think we have to be very cautious about moving towards a policy that is going to promote greater use of something that the American Medical Association still says is dangerous and is a public health concern.
Jamie Raskin.
thanks for having us, Mark. Well, let me start by saying that I think the premise of everything that's going on with respect to reforming marijuana policy is based on the widespread, pervasive perception that cops have, prosecutors have, and citizens have, judges have, almost everybody, that the war on drugs as it applies to marijuana is a complete and total failure, because it is going up against a law that cannot be repealed, which is the law of supply and demand. The war on drugs has been going on since the Richard Nixon administration for many decades now, without any apparent effect in terms of reducing drug use. So anybody who's watched The Wire, anybody who's familiar with what takes place in, the police precincts and the courthouses every day knows it's simply not working. And it is working only in one sense, that it is enriching the drug dealers and the drug cartels, which have essentially ruined the government of an entire country, Mexico. I'm reading a book now called Narcoland by Annabelle Hernandez, which is about how the cartels are so wealthy. Some of their some of the leaders of the drug cartels are on the Fortune 500 richest people in the world list. Okay, they've been able to corrupt the cops, the prosecutors, the judges, the prisons, the jails. We get a little glimpse of that in the Baltimore City jail case, where the drug dealers were able to pay off the wardens and the guards with cars and condos and so on, and basically take over the jail. So, you know, but my concern is actually similar to Mr. Klein's about young people, about kids. I've got three kids of my own. I don't want them to drink. I don't want them to smoke pot. I want them to be healthy. But the reality is that the drug dealers don't card today. And I want a system where the government takes marijuana away from the drug dealers, puts them out of business, we regulate it, and we tax it. We're spending more than $100 million a year on marijuana law enforcement in Maryland with no apparent effect. Kids can get pot a lot easier than they can get alcohol. We could make $125 or $150 million a year for the state instead through tax revenues if we tax it. And we allow adults 21 and up to make their own decisions about marijuana, and we strictly enforce the marijuana laws with respect to any dealer that would dare to try to sell it to children. But right now, it's a completely lawless situation where the dealers go in, and any kid can tell you that they know exactly where to find pot if they want it. I think Mr. Klein cited a statistic of 65% of the kids today think that pot is not harmful.
Right.
That's today under criminalization. That's, you know, so we've got a war on drugs that is racially disproportionate. We know blacks and whites are using pot at about the same level. And yet in Maryland, we've got three times the number of arrests and prosecutions and convictions for black people as white people, which is basically the national pattern. And most people have had enough with it. In Maryland, 53% of the people want to go to a regulate and tax approach. That's 58% of Democrats, and half of all Republicans are ready for a new approach on this. So, you know, I hand it to Senator Zirkin that he introduced that legislation last year, and I was astonished at how many people said, of course, we've got to do this. And, you know, I've simply, you know, since that time, I've looked at it much more intently, and I said, it's not quite enough just to say we'll make it a civil fine. That means that people are still having to buy marijuana from drug dealers and criminals. We should take it over and have licensed dispensaries in the state and put the criminals out of business. And if we start to do this nationally, not just in Colorado and Washington, and I'm hoping in Maryland, but we do it nationally, we will be able to put the drug dealers out of business internationally, or at least in our hemisphere. And, you know, that drug war in Mexico has cost 70,000 lives over the last decade. And it's not doing anything for our people here. So it's a matter of public health, public education, public safety. Let's use law enforcement resources for real criminals, for unsolved homicides. And, you know, let's grow up about the issue and get rid of drug prohibition like we got rid of alcohol prohibition.
Well, let me ask is this Greg?
Mark, this is Bobby Zark. Can I ask you, I just want to say something about what Mr. Klein said also. I don't think anybody is taking this lightly in terms, and nobody in the legislature, certainly not me, and certainly not Senator Raskin, are trying to inspire people to smoke marijuana. But I lived in Belgium for a couple of years, and so I went to Holland, and I mean, that is a different ballgame from what we're talking about here. The bill that was passed last year simply said that we weren't going to waste hundreds of millions of dollars in our criminal justice system for individuals who had what is defined under the law as de minimis or small amounts of marijuana. And that we should, in fact, I agree with Mr. Klein, this is a health issue, and we should be spending those resources not on having police officers sitting in the district court or on, you know, all of these resources going for what essentially everybody understands nobody's trying to put anybody in jail for any period of time for having a joint. And so the question is, with all these problems that are out there with the system as we have it, what are we doing? I mean, for to what effect? Because the reality is, if you look at, I mean, the good news on the bill that we passed last year about from switching from a criminal regime to a civil fine, the good news is we don't have to do any guesswork. We don't have to look to Holland or Canada. We've had a number of states from New York to Mississippi. There's a whole list of them that have moved from a criminal sanction to a civil sanction, and the effects on those populations have been well documented.
Well, let me ask you,
and the reality is there has been none. There has been no increase whatsoever when you move from a criminal sanction to a civil sanction in the numbers of individuals, whether it be teens or any other age group, that smokes more. In fact, it has stayed exactly the same. And so it has had no effect, and they've saved all these resources and been able to put more resources into mental health and all those other, and treating it as a health issue, not a criminal issue. It has had no effect as a gateway drug. Moving in Mississippi from a criminal sanction to a civil sanction has not inspired numbers of people to go have heroin or cocaine or any of the rest. It has had no effect whatsoever. So the effects have been completely zero
in terms of
the bad things that some people would say.
Right, the good
effects have been tremendous because, to me, some kid, some 20-something that gets popped with a joint, I don't want to see that person have a criminal record for the rest of their lives because that does have bad effects.
Okay, now, Bobby, I'm jumping in because I want to let Greg get a word in edgewise here.
Sure.
Because he hasn't really had a chance.
I have some questions about what you all said.
Ahead, Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay. Senator Raskin's arguments are the quintessential argument that we've lost the war on drugs, and it's really an argument for drug legalization generally. He kind of said that, yet we're only talking about marijuana. I certainly watch The Wire. I'm a big fan, especially some of your your cameos, Mark. But
thank you.
The war on drugs is going to continue even if marijuana is legal. All of those evils are still going to go on. If we're going to be honest about this and we're going to make those sorts of arguments, then we shouldn't just be talking about marijuana. And I think that's one of the things in my piece that I wrote in the Baltimore Sun is a bit disingenuous about this. There are folks, and there was an article recently about Ethan Nadelman, who's the founder and executive of the Drug Policy Alliance, who are very openly and honestly saying that we need to move towards drug legalization generally. If those are the arguments we're making, then that's what we should be talking about. Of course, those are political non-starters, so we've taken this piecemeal approach. But I do take some umbrage with the idea that we're talking about the failed war on drugs, and yet we're only going to legalize pot, because eventually that's not going to solve a lot of the ills that the senator is talking about. With regard to Senator Zirkin's point, some of the things that I cited were not increased use in other drugs, because we are seeing nationally a decline in use from other folks. But I would say look at what happened in Canada in their decriminalization. They did have a spike. They spiked to a 26-year high when they decriminalized marijuana use. Again, as we move forward and say that this is something that's should be legal or should be decriminalized, we're sending the message that's clearly getting through to not just to people who, even under Senator Raskin's plan, were under 21, this would still be illegal for them to possess this stuff. They're clearly getting the message that this must not be that bad. And let me say this with regard to the regulation. I mean, some of the, particularly with the Missouri proposal, some of the projections of what the tax revenue are, a bit on the high end, especially with provisions that allow for individuals to produce their own marijuana. But part of the University of Michigan study that I talked about earlier noted that one-third of high school seniors that live in medical marijuana states obtain their marijuana from someone else's medical recommendation. So by putting it even into this regulated tax environment, you are going to increase the availability to people who we all agree we need to try to keep it away from. And that's my concern with this debate moving towards something akin to legalization or tolerance of marijuana use in general.
Well, let me just push a couple of issues here. I mean, first of all,
Mark, I'd love a chance to respond to a couple of those things whenever.
All right, can they make – because I do want to bring some things out here that are not coming out that I think we need to get out in this conversation. But, Jamie, respond very quickly, but I want to throw some things out.
There are a number of things I want to say, but let me respond very quickly to the point about – it's interesting to me how quickly Greg wants to move to talk about the other drugs, because he knows that the public has seen up close the failure with the criminalization of marijuana, the way it's really just criminalizing young people for doing what our last four or five presidents have done, although I guess Bill Clinton didn't inhale. But, you know, we've got a system that has failed for a drug which, by almost every account, is less harmful and less dangerous than alcohol and liquor. So I would, you know, I easily take the bait from him and say, no, I do not think that heroin should be legalized. I introduce legislation to criminalize this nasty substance everybody should stay away from, called synthetic marijuana, which was being sold in convenience stores. And that is an absolute killer drug that's destroying people's brains. But I do think that grown-ups can make their own decision. That is, people 21 and up can make their own decision about marijuana, like they can make their own decision about alcohol. So I would push the slippery slope in the other direction. If he's saying that anything that is potentially harmful in any way to anybody should be criminalized, does he want to criminalize alcohol again? Does he want to replay our disastrous encounter with prohibition? Because we're living through the exact same thing right now. We've got the law of supply and demand. There are clearly millions of people who want to use marijuana, like there are millions of people who want to use liquor. And guess what? Thousands of people, tens of thousands of people have died in this country because of alcohol. And hundreds of Marylanders will die every year because of alcohol on the road. So do you propose that we should go back to prohibition?
Can I address that?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, then I do want to jump in a few questions before we run out of time, but go right ahead, please.
I don't want to go back to alcohol prohibition, but I completely dispute your contention that marijuana is less harmful than alcohol. There's plenty of medical evidence that shows that even casual use of marijuana can lead to increased health effects. The Lancet in 2007 had a report that said there was an increased risk of any psychotic outcome of individuals who've ever used cannabis.
How many people die every year because of marijuana use versus alcohol use?
What I'm saying is that there are risks and harms from smoked marijuana particularly that make it different from alcohol. Now, if we want to have a debate about which is more dangerous, that's fine. We can have that. But I just think your arguments about the failed war on drugs isn't the issue if we're saying that the state certainly does have the right to prohibit what people put in their bodies and to regulate that, but this shouldn't be on the list. That's a different debate than saying that drug prohibitions are a failure and adults ought to be able to make those decisions for themselves.
But
issue has to be either a philosophical one about the role of government in regulating these things, or it has to be more of a policy-based discussion about what is the actual harm of marijuana. And I don't think you can mix and match that to try to take advantage of some greater tolerance for marijuana. I certainly dispute that marijuana is safer than alcohol. I certainly don't
you
want
do?
To go back.
Well, let me stop you right there, Greg. You were just saying you were equating the dangers of marijuana and alcohol. And what I'm saying for the last 20 years of following this debate and having these debates on the air, that every report I've ever seen or read, instead of ever seen or read, clearly shows that that's not the case, that about what's more dangerous in terms of health, driving.
Well, I would disagree because the AMA just reaffirmed their position that they oppose legalization of marijuana.
Well, no, wasn't that clean? I mean, I read the AMA position. I just throw that out because I was going to throw that out there. Let me throw it out now. It'd be one of the things I want to throw out to you all. I mean, what the AMA said was they did say that cannabis is a dangerous drug, and as such, this is a quote, is a public health concern. But they also wrote that federal efforts to address illicit drug via supply reduction and enforcement has been ineffective, end quote. They also said in the piece that came out that modification of state and federal laws to emphasize public health based strategies to address and reduce cannabis use should be used instead of incarceration and policing.
That's true.
So they said
That's
a true. Lot in this. There wasn't just a very simple saying, oh, marijuana is bad. We shouldn't do anything. We shouldn't change the way our attitudes. So it was a very complex thing that happened in the House of Delegates of the AMA.
No, I agree. But my point was, and you're asking me about the comparison between alcohol and marijuana. The AMA isn't opposed to legalization of alcohol. They're not talking about creating or going back to a prohibition on alcohol, but they are saying that they oppose the legalization of marijuana.
I'm saying I've read the entire thing. And I've just given you quotes I've pulled out. That it's a much more complex and nuanced statement they made than simply saying they're not for legalization.
No, my point was simple. Look, in my family, to the extent I've got control over my kids, they don't smoke marijuana and they don't use alcohol. and there are other lawful substances I don't want them to take as well, okay? And, you know, that is the responsibility of every parent to try to enforce it. But if the suggestion is, well, let's look at what are the biggest public health hazards out there, we really do have to rewind the clock to alcohol prohibition, because every year more than 10,000 people die on the road because of alcohol-impaired driving. Hundreds in Maryland. Now, I have tried to do what I can about that, you know, and I introduced legislation to require convicted drunk drivers to have the ignition interlock device on their cars, and I think that has helped to reduce the harm. And so I think that's something that we've got to take very seriously. I'm not saying we ignore it, but we've given up on liquor prohibition because it doesn't work, because people want to drink it. So what we've done instead is to say we will let grown-ups drink it. We will do everything in our power to regulate it, to tax it, to keep it away from kids, and to have a sensible public policy that deals with the reality of what people want. And I think given the fact that marijuana is demonstrably much safer than alcohol is in terms of overall public health effects, we should treat marijuana the exact same way. It's time for us to grow up from this, you know, many decades old war on marijuana that's simply not working. And I don't think we should get detoured into a ridiculous conversation about heroin or PCP or, you know, nasty toxic substances, which we agree not only should we be criminalizing and banning, but we've had success in terms of getting it away from people. But that's not the case with marijuana. It undermines people's respect for law enforcement. It's not working, and we're just criminalizing our own population.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show. Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.
This is Mark Steiner. We want to welcome you to another one of our episodes in Countdown to the Annapolis Summit. One of those issues that's going to be coming up in Annapolis this session will be around marijuana, around legalization, around decriminalization, which are very different issues, medical marijuana, as well as those who do not want to see any of the above or most of the above not happen. They think that marijuana is an illegal drug and it should stay that way. We are joined here by Greg Klein, who wrote an op-ed to that regard. He's an attorney, co-founder and contributing editor for Red Maryland, and he hosts the Conservative Refuge podcast and co-hosts the Red Maryland Radio. Senator Jamie Raskin is a Maryland State Senator representing the 20th District in Montgomery County, and Senator Bobby Zirkin is a Maryland State Senator representing the 11th District in Baltimore County.
Hey, Mark, if I could jump in, I apologize.
This is Bobby.
Searching while you all were speaking. This is Senator Zirkin again on the Internet, and I just was looking up some of the things that Greg was talking about, and I'm on the Canadian, for instance. You kept citing Canada as your model, and I'm looking on their health website right now, and the last report they have say among Canadians 15 years and older, prevalence of cannabis use has decreased 10.5%. Past year, cannabis decreased since 2004 by 18.2%. Female by 10.2%. I guess the point being that, and by the way, they haven't decriminalized either. You said that they decriminalized in Canada and that they have all these statistics. I'm reading about just a couple weeks ago, there's a movement afoot to do so. But so I guess my point being, in this debate, there is hard evidence that is out there about these various effects, and the problem in this debate has been this kind of knee-jerk response to changing the marijuana laws, and it's not based in reality. I'm sorry, there are so many studies out there that show what happens when you move from a criminal to a civil regime, and the studies will be there now that we have a couple of states that have done so, when you move from a criminal to a legalized regime. And I think rather than debating these things based on emotion, I think we really need to debate this based on what happens when we move to these regimes, because quite frankly, what's going on right now is a failure. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind would disagree with that. Having a 90-day or 1 year, you know, right now it's de minimis marijuana, is a 90-day sentence with an automatic stay to the circuit court. We have these goofy laws on medical marijuana, which in this state don't work. They should be significantly more progressive than we've allowed them to be in the legislature. And then for greater than de minimis, we have a year of jail, and then obviously you have all these other things for sale and distribution. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we've bent over backwards in the state legislature to try to figure out how to keep people out of the prison system for small amounts of marijuana. I haven't heard you argue yet against decriminalization other than this anecdotal kind of you're sending the wrong message. But that was the same message that was sent, I guess, in the other 16 states, and the effects have not been there to in any way suggest that marijuana use increased. And so I guess what I'd love to hear you, I mean, senators like Senator Kittleman, Senator Brinkley, and others who are in, obviously Republicans in the state, have have really enthusiastically supported certainly medical marijuana and decriminalization. And I'll be interested to hear what people have to say when Jamie's legalization bill hits the floor. But the data is very clear on these issues. It's really not up for debate at this point. These things have been studied, and the reality is that the criminal sanction has not worked. If the effect is to keep people from smoking, then having a criminal sanction has not worked, as Jamie has said, and moving that into a more compassionate and a more, kind of a more realistic regime of civil sanctions has not had any effect, one way or the other. It just has kept hundreds of millions of wasted dollars from being spent. So I guess, I'm just kind of sitting here while you all were talking and looking online. So, the study that you said a couple times about Canada, it's actually the reverse. Canadian pot use is going down, but they haven't decriminalized. So I'm not quite sure what you were referencing. They're having a debate about it in British Columbia right now. The Toronto mayor obviously had his issues. But, in Canada, pot use is going way down.
Let me let Greg respond.
Well, let me say a couple things. The Canadian example, and I did cite that in my piece, that was part of the DEA study that came out.
Yeah, but I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm looking at their own health site right now.
So let Greg have his say, though.
I understand that. That's where I'm getting that information. But again, I understand that there are plenty of policy alternatives between legalization and the current regime. And folks like the AMA and Project SAM and other folks are talking about alternatives. I understand that debate. What I'm saying is that I'm opposed to legalization, and that there is, there is evidence from places, and I've talked about them. You want to dispute them, we can dispute them. But there is evidence, one, that there are harmful health effects from the use of marijuana, that there is evidence that use of marijuana has gone up when it has been legalized. You dispute the examples, we can dispute that. I'm not suggesting solely that we stay on the status quo, but I don't think you're going to see from some of those people you mentioned a great embrace of full recreational legalization of marijuana. And if there is, there will be effects. There has been a trend nationally towards increased use among the most vulnerable in our society, which is young people, and the effects of marijuana on their brains is most receptive to that. And that's the under 21 crowd that you're talking about maintaining the prohibition against. There has been a trend towards increased use, and there has been an increasing view of those folks from the University of Michigan survey. And I think in no small part because of the movement towards legalization that this is somehow a safe thing to engage in. That's my concern. I don't think those are going to be unintended consequences. I think they're very foreseeable.
You support decriminalization then, like your colleague, like Senator Brinkley and Senator Kittleman and others. I mean, because I keep hearing you talk about out-and-out legalization. You support decriminalization the way the Senate did last year, correct?
I'm not saying I support that. I say that we can have a policy debate about something other than the status quo that isn't.
That's what we're doing, right?
So I don't know that either of those gentlemen are my colleagues. And I don't know that I would agree with them on a number of issues, including this one. But I'm saying that, and I'm acknowledging that there are alternatives to full legalization, which is what, the Missouri proposal, which prompted what I wrote, and is kind of prompting some of these debates, and what Senator Raskin is putting forward, is something that I certainly do oppose.
Jamie, what were you about to say?
Well, I think we should listen to people in the law enforcement community. And if you go to the Maryland ACLU website, you'll get a really fascinating report that they did on marijuana enforcement in our state. And it starts with an introduction by Neil Franklin, who's the executive director of a group called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. And he basically states that the war on drugs as applied to marijuana has been a complete failure. that, you know, Americans are spending $65 billion a year on illegal drugs. One study suggests that marijuana is the biggest market in California, and if it were legal, you know, there'd be hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue that could be made on it. But, I mean, the cops that we've spoken to, that I've seen testify, a number of them have said, one of them said, you know, I'm not afraid of a knife-wielding lunatic who just smoked pot. That guy's usually at home watching Twilight Zone reruns and munching Doritos. I'm afraid of the knife-wielding lunatic who is drunk and who's been, you know, drinking all night in a bar. You know, the fact is that, you know, people who are on the front lines of this, they see that all the efforts have been going on for decades have not reduced the amount of marijuana consumption. And if we really care about kids, what we'll do is we'll legalize it for grown-ups, then we'll put all of our resources that we want to spend on this into education with school, education in the schools with kids, and public health measures to try to, you know, steer kids in a mentally healthy way. I mean, a lot of what drug use is people self-medicating because of undiagnosed mental illnesses or depression or what have you. And so I think we'd be able to zero in on what the real public health problems once we stop viewing this as a criminal problem and start viewing it instead as a public health issue.
So, but a couple of things I do want to raise here that have come up in the course of the conversation. And let me start, Bobby, and answer this question, Bobby Zirkin. People and also Greg Klein, about decriminalization. A lot of people also argue that decriminalization itself, it doesn't answer the question, because it doesn't answer the question of who gets hassled, arrested. It's mostly black kids, even though it's mostly that's a pretty even split between white and black, and the vast majority of people who smoke marijuana are not African American, though they're the ones who are filling up our jails and the arrest and the arrest pods in the state of Maryland and across the country. And B, this decriminalization itself doesn't end the criminalization of marijuana. By that I mean that still keeps the drug cartels in it. People say you can't half-step. If you're going to, right. Leap would say, you have to legalize it, not decriminalize it.
You're looking for my response on that?
Bobby Zirkin, yeah. Let me start with you.
Yeah, look, like I said in my opening statement, I have every intention of voting for Senator Raskin's bill. I support and have been very clear about that. That's not going to pass the General Assembly, though, and I think that decriminalization can. So in answer to your question, do I think that it's just a half step and doesn't go far enough? Yes, I do. But I think decriminalization is a good, you know, sometimes in politics, compromise, you know, compromise is not a dirty word in politics. And on this issue, you know, it's okay if we're going slow, if that's the best you can do. But I have every intention of voting for Senator Raskin's bill, and if that somehow is the bill that gets out, it is superior to mine. There's no question about that in my opinion. But I do believe in decriminalization if we don't get to legalization. And quite frankly, I'd love to see this go before the voters of Maryland, because I think that they should have their say like they have in Colorado and in Washington. But short of that, decriminalization certainly is not a tiny step. And I think it is the poll that I saw, I think, was over 90% of Maryland residents supported decriminalization. That's an issue where the population is far ahead of where the General Assembly is right now. Now, we got the decriminalization bill out of the Senate with an overwhelming vote, and then it died in the House Judiciary Committee. You know, I think we have a real shot of getting there this year. But I agree with the questions you asked me. If you have me on to kind of argue for decrim and not legalization, you got the wrong guy, because I support Senator Raskin. I really do. I mean, I think he's correct. But in terms of politics, I would disagree with those that say that this doesn't, you know, we shouldn't do it because it doesn't go far enough. That's not the way politics works. And quite frankly, a lot of the problems that you see that are out there, you know, I mean, that was a staggering statistic. I was unaware when I put the bill in last year and we had that hearing, and they came out with a study that said that I think it was more than 80% of the arrests are African-American, whereas white and African-American smoke at the same, roughly the same rate in their population, like 10-11%. I mean, you would think that it would be 85% white that would be arrested based on those numbers, and that was a staggering number. Now, that's not the reason to decriminalize, but that certainly is a that certainly is up there with it, because I mean that's just a horrible example of unequal justice in the justice system. But at the end of the day, look, I mean, the bill that I believe we can get through is decriminalization. We certainly have shown that with overwhelming bipartisan support, you can get decriminalization out of the Senate. And now it's time to get it out of the House. And that would be a big step forward. We would join a growing list of states around the country that have done so. Again, as I've stated, that move from criminal to civil has not had any poor effects. The studies that Greg has cited aren't based on moving from criminal to civil, because a criminal to civil change has, you know, those studies show absolutely no bad effects. So not on kids, not on marijuana use, not on overall drug use, none of it.
So
I believe that that's a bill that is not only worth doing, but is also possible in this General Assembly.
Let me get some quick thoughts here as we close out this conversation. We'll see how this pans out in the General Assembly. Greg, a closing thought from you, and then and we'll let Jimmy have the last word.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on here.
Pleasure to have you.
It's part of the discussion. My view is still, and cannabis, smoked marijuana particularly, is a dangerous drug. It needs to continue to remain illegal. I think some of the arguments have been made, particularly the idea that we should eliminate prohibitions if they're ineffective. I have a lot of problem with that argument, because really you could look at any criminal prohibition we have, and it hasn't stopped the behavior we've prohibited. So to say that it's a failure because people still do things that are illegal, I think is a facile argument. I think that it's not going to be quite as easy as some of the proponents insist it will be in getting this passed, particularly in the General Assembly, in an election year. You know, some of those folks that you guys cited as having, because I'm on this side of the aisle, who have supported these sorts of things in the past, on our side, some of them are going to face some challenges, and this is an issue that I think is going to be very difficult for them to be as progressive as some might hope on. But we'll see. It'll be a very interesting issue as we go through the General Assembly.
It will be. Jimmy Raskin?
Mark, so, you know, we're spending more than $100 million a year in law enforcement targeted at marijuana, which is a failed and futile campaign, and the whole country got to see it on the wire in our state. We could be making more than $100 million, maybe up to as much as $150 million a year in tax revenues, so that we go from losing $100 million in law enforcement, and many more than that in terms of the lost and wasted possibilities of people's lives, to making $100 or $150 million a year in tax revenue and putting people to work in real jobs, in the dispensaries, in the farming and agriculture arena. It just makes it a lot more sense for public health and public education. And I just don't know why, you know, this is a plank in the Richard Nixon platform from 1971 that for some reason still has such a strong hold on certain parts of the population. But the good news is the vast majority of people have moved away from it already before we've even begun a campaign or to talk about it. A majority of Marylanders already say that they support regulation and taxation of marijuana. And I want to salute Bobby Zirkin for putting this on the agenda in the last session. But I do think that sometimes it's easier to make a comprehensive change than a halfway step change. And, you know, one example of that might be when we went to marriage equality rather than civil union. And a lot of people said, well, let's just take a step midway. Let's do civil union. And, of course, that didn't please anybody, and it didn't really make any sense. And I think that in Maryland we've got an educated and sophisticated and lucid population which can talk about this in a serious way. And drug prohibition as it applies to marijuana has failed in our state. And it's time to do to this prohibition what we did to alcohol prohibition before.
I want to thank all three of you. This has been a fantastic conversation, and we'll continue to cover this at the Annapolis Summit as well as during the course of the session. I want to thank Senator Bobby Zirkin from the 11th District in Baltimore County, Senator Jimmy Raskin, who you just heard, State Senator from the 20th District in Montgomery County, Greg Klein, who you can read now in the Red Maryland blog in The Sun. He's an attorney, co-founder, and contributing editor of Red Maryland. Thank the three of you so much for being with us. I appreciate the integrity of the conversation. It was great. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.